Okay, third bracha. Asher bachar banu mikol aviv v'nasa lanu ester asa. So this is a bracha of Rav Hamnuna, and either he himself, or remember there are different brachas. Each Amora made different brachos. We make all three. It's either he himself, or the Gemara. The Rif says that he didn't say it, but the Gemara says this. This is meula sheva brachos. This is the superior bracha. So what makes it meula sheva brachos? So Rashi already senses that there's something in Asher bachar banu that isn't in other brachas. Rashi says, "V'shiyesh ba hodah l'makom v'kilos l'Torah v'liyisrael." So it's almost like a triangle. You're addressing Hashem, Asher bachar banu, but you're also saying something nice about Torah itself. And Asher lanu is Torah, so brachat Hashem nosein haTorah to Am Yisrael. So that triangle of Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Am Yisrael is being incorporated in this bracha, but you don't really have in other brachas. You don't have Am Yisrael mentioned in Lasa B'Divrei Torah. In theory, that's just a verb. Anyone could be Osek in Divrei Torah. B'harav Na Hashem Elokeinu Sivit Taraska has Am Yisrael, but doesn't really talk about Bechira of Torah. So this is why, at least according to Rashi, this is Me'ula Sheva Brachas. Now, what's the core of the bracha? Let's divide it into three. Hashem Bachar Banu Mikol Amim, V'nasa Lanu Estara Esau, Brachat Hashem L'Sein HaTorah. What do we get from each phrase? So the first phrase is the obvious part. Hashem was Bocher in us and chose us. And with Torah, this is a very interesting dichotomy. Because on the one hand, Torah is Kadma Li'olam. And Torah is universal. And Torah is cosmic. Torah has nothing to do with a particular nation. Or for that matter, humanity. Torah is in Shemayim. Torah is at the heart. It's the DNA. Literally, the letters of DNA of the entire cosmos. So to say that Torah is specifically for Am Yisrael, on the other hand, what does Rashi say? Bereshis bara Elokim, across the Medrash, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. Namely, the Torah that Hashem put into this world, our version of the Torah, which is only one version of the Torah. There are billions of versions of the Torah, because you could jumble the letters and make all other versions that in Shemayim exist. That's why there's a Chazal that says, Kala Torah Kula Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is Hashem's name. I don't know, I see words in the Torah that aren't Hashem's name. So you can take that non-literally, it's a metaphor, it's like I've talked about, the way you access Hashem. But another way to take it, is the Ramban in his Hakdama to the Torah, is that you're right, the Torah that we were given isn't all the names of Hashem. But at its core, these letters can be reconfigured and it will all be the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's almost as if there's a split between the eternal Torah that serves as a foundation of this universe and that version of the Torah we were given to study and to keep. Of course, they're not two separate documents. It's a version. It's an expression of the higher Torah. So when we learn Torah, we're affecting the upper Torah, which then affects all the worlds and all the cosmos. That's why Reb Chaim Volozhin said that if you learn Torah, you're doing more than serving the army. Let's say we're talking about the army, because you're perfecting all the worlds. So this is in this world, Hashem chose us because no other nation wanted to receive the Torah. So Hashem chose us. It's actually, you know the story of Avram ben Avram, the famous Ger, who supposedly was killed on Shavuos? It's very important. Google it. It's very important. It's during the time of the Vilna Gaon. He was a rich Polish aristocrat. And basically, he turned to Judaism. And they were so angry, the Poles, that he turned to Judaism, they chased him throughout Europe, basically. It was a very famous, cloak and dagger story. And they finally found him, and they arrested him, the Christian authorities. And he had a lot of pull. And this is generalizing the story. And he could have gotten off, say you were lying, say you were drunk, say you were tired, make believe. And said, no, I want to die on Kiddush Hashem. And it was a very famous scene, and they tortured him, and he died on Kiddush Hashem, supposedly on Shavuos. And supposedly, the Vilna Gaon actually visited him, and they took some of the ashes, cause I think they cremated his body. The Christians, they put the body near the cave of the Vilna Gaon, the body itself in the Vilna Gaon. I don't know the exact details of the story. It's a very, very legendary story. And there were people there at the meet, when he was being killed and tortured, and he screamed out, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and there's some Kaddish Shema Barabim, and there's a Masara from the Chafetz Chaim, I think, but that's why today we don't have to be makbid on washing our hands until Tehillas Yadayim within Dalet Amos. Why? Because his Mekadosh Mabarabim Bracha was so intense and was such a shift in the metaphysics of this world that the Tumah of Yadayim is no longer an issue.
That's when it's recorded that Tumah of Yadayim disappeared.
Right. That's why Ashkenazim are noeg to be mekel. Chassidim put their water under their bed. Ashkenazim are no, you go right away to the wash basin and you wash the Tehillas Yadayim. That was such an iconic event. I think they asked him or something like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you so committed to Yiddish guy? And he said, because at Har Sinai, famous Medrash, and Hashem shopped the Torah to all the nations, Hafim Har Paran V'atam Rivet Kodesh, and they said no. But he said, not everyone in the nation said no. There are a few individuals in each nation that actually said yes. And those are the Geri Tzedek throughout history. Rus and the Geri Tzedek. So it's a fascinating story. Google Avram ben Avram. He had some Polish name. Krzysztof, I don't know the name, but it's some Polish name. It's a very, very, very celebrated story. Anyway, so Hashem chose our people. He offered it to the other nations of the world, but he chose our people. And the Torah says you have to think about not just that Hashem chose us, but he chose us at Har Sinai. Because he chose our fathers in Eretz Yisrael, but he chose them, but he didn't deliver them Har Sinai. We were not just chosen, but there's a different Bechira at Har Sinai to hear the voice of Hashem as a people. Hashem chose Avram and spoke to him. Hashem didn't speak to Sarah, Sarah Nevuah, but Hashem didn't speak to her. Hashem didn't speak to the Nevesh HaShasu Bacharan. So Hashem is Bachar Banu, and he brought us to Har Sinai, Kirvanu to Har Sinai, and he spoke to us at Har Sinai. So that's more or less the first part of the Bracha. The second part of the Bracha is V'nasan Lanu Es Toraso. Very interesting word, Torah. How should you respond to Torah? Should it be Hashem's Torah or your Torah? That's a dilemma that's built into the first pasuk of Tehillim. Second pasuk. Ashrei ha'ish shelo halach batzasu sham v'derech adam lo amad moshe leitzim le'yashav. So the man is fortunate if he hangs out with the right people. What's the second pasuk about that man? Ki im b'taras Hashem cheftzo, if that man runs after Hashem's Torah, uv'taraso, and in his Torah of the man, yega yom v'layla. So is it Hashem's Torah or is it our Torah? So the Gemara in Kiddushin has a famous machlokus about this. And the nafkamina lalacha is, can a Rebbe be machul on his kavod? If it's Hashem's Torah, then the Rebbe is just a conduit, and it's not his kavod. And therefore, he can't be machul because he represents Hashem. If it's the Rebbe's Torah or your Torah, then I'm teaching you my Torah. It's the Torah that I've acquired, so the honor you're giving me is my right to waive. So the famous machlokus, Rav Shem Machal al Kavodo, Kavodo Machul, and Paskin Kavodo Machul. But that's the core. Biosef and Rafun, I think, have this machlokus in Kiddushin. But in a broader sense, it represents two different ways we have to see Torah. On the one hand, there's a reference to Torah that you're learning something that's the Dvar Hashem, something you have to be very careful about how you enter. We talked about this yesterday, the Birchas HaTorah is a matir. You have to make a bracha that you're taking something that isn't yours. On the other hand, you have to personalize it, and it has to be your Torah, and you have to feel the simcha, otherwise it won't become eternal, it won't become authentic. You always have to straddle that balance between the reverence that it's Hashem's Torah, but also not being too reverent because then you're too distant. I remember about 20 years ago, the yeshiva asked me for B'nai Chutz La'aretz to write a handbook for behavior in the Beis Medrash. Because he wanted to, and it's probably still in some file somewhere. Like, how should B'nai Chutz La'aretz behave when they come into the Beis Medrash? So, for example, Rav Aaron was very, very opposed to any shirts and t-shirts and sweatshirts that had, like, sports teams or logos. Or things. He thought, again, it's all cultural. In those days, he thought, at least, it was disrespectful to walk in with a Yankees sweatshirt. Rav Amitav was very opposed to not wearing socks with your sandals. Okay, now it's a different generation, but on the one hand, you want the Beis Medrash to be a Makom Kadosh. Shalna lecha meraglecha. Ironically, take off your socks. It should be Makom Kadosh. On the other hand, if it's too Kadosh, people will come in and leave quickly because you can't spend that much time. There's a fascinating quiet room in Redmond, Washington. That's where Microsoft has its headquarters. It's the quietest room in the world. Okay, I don't mean quiet like the library here. I mean, they eliminate all background noise because they have to test their computers and their circuitry. So it needs absolute quiet so it shouldn't be disturbed. You cannot spend more than an hour in that room. Why? Because it's so quiet, you hear your bones moving and you hear your heart beating and it drives you crazy. So imagine if you hear pop, 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 pop. And we don't hear it because all this other noise cancels it. Even in a quiet room, there's enough background noise because it is to cancel it. But so some places are so quiet and so kadosh, you can't spend more than an hour there because you're going to fall apart. So there has to be some balance between feeling comfortable in the Beis Medrash, but also not turning into your room where you're just so lazy and so cavalier that you just act very, very irreverent towards Torah. So this pasuk is highlighting Torah so. It's Torah Hashem. He gave us nasan lanu es Torah so, but nasan lanu es Torah so. And he wants it to be ours. Now the conclusion is Baruch Atah Hashem, not Nasana Torah, which would represent a moment of Har Sinai, but Nosein HaTorah. Nosein is constantly giving the Torah. And that means two things. In the limited sense, it means that Torah should always be seen as something which is new and refreshed, and you always have to revitalize your Torah, look for new ways to learn Torah. In a broader sense, it's not just how fresh you view Torah, but how relevant you view Torah. A lot of people view Torah as irrelevant. It's some old book with yellow pages for the goat herding sheep, you know, shepherds. But today is a day of technology, and it's a day of airplanes, and it's a day of democracy, and it's a day of capitalism. And for a lot of people, Torah, even if they study it very, very deeply, they don't feel that it's relevant to this world. And Rav Amital, that was his favorite word, relevanti, really. We always use the word relevanti. And in my life, I'm always trying to write articles that look into Torah and try to find meaning for what's happening in our world, whether it's geula, whether it's culture, because Torah is an answer for everything. And I'm not so interested in whether people read that article or get the answer to that specific question. It's a mentality. For a lot of people, Torah is saying, that's something you study. It's an old, ancient document. We submit to it. Rather than chayenu v'erchimenu, that you see in Torah a guide and a map and answers and a navigational compass, everything you're going through. And that's it's more than just, is my Torah stale, is my Torah fresh? Is my Torah contemporary? Is my Torah antiquated and outdated? Okay, so it's the third bracha, Shebachar banu b'chira, v'nasan lanu es Torah so, brachat Hashem, no sein ha-Torah, not nasan ha-Torah. Rav Hamnuna called this Me'ula Sheva Brachas. Okay, good morning.
Morning.
Netanya, I'm just going to stress again that Amir Tashem on Thursday we have the shiur. What? Would you prefer tomorrow? I thought Thursday would be better. Thursday morning.
Without you,
right, without me. But he's a chashev arav, and he's an older person also, and he's making a special trip. So kulam yagiu.
Chaval shani
fasfeisim. I'm going to say that then. You're flying tomorrow, so there's no problem.
I'm flying tomorrow morning. Yeah, issues to sub esa. Derech Ethiopia. Okay. Thank you.